Moncrief on News Talk.
Most of us don't discuss death, something we're just going to talk about lightly on a Wednesday afternoon, but perhaps we should. Like, should we be having more conversations about death and how we would like to be remembered? I'm joined in studio by Joe McNamara, director of Corrigan and Sons Funeral Home in Dublin. Welcome to the studio, Joe.
Thank you very much.
So, do you have a lot of people talking to you about their plans for funerals, like ahead of time, or only if maybe they have some sort of a terminal illness? Or
okay, so no, more often than not, we have folks coming into us talking about their plans, and I have to say, women are much better organised than men.
Just, shock horror.
Just as an aside, okay? So what we tend to get is, my experience has been that we have met a lot of women who were on their own, which is to say...
Single, unmarried.
Of a good age. They might be single. Invariably, they've been single and just want to get their affairs in order. And this is part of their planning going forward, okay?
And would that be something they'd say to you or to a... Like, I would have thought that those would go into a will, like into a solicitor.
Now, the will is slightly different in that it deals with, let's call it the house and, you know, whatever hard assets, let's put it that way, right? The funeral is a little bit more different because we're actually dealing with the emotional side of things.
Okay.
So the folks that come into us would describe, like, what they would like to do for their funeral. And then I would say to them, well, look, have you made a will? Because really, it's critical in terms of planning ahead that you make a will. And I say, well, have you made a will? And more often than not, they have. And they say, well, who are your executors? And they say, yeah, we have two executors. I said, that's fine. I said, well, let's talk through what you'd like to have as your ideas for a funeral. And then we discuss the different ideas that they have.
And what kind of things, because my, and maybe I'm wrong, but I imagine that if you die and you haven't spoken to a funeral director about your wishes, there's sort of a common or garden funeral, I'm presuming Catholic in most instances, Catholic funeral will just happen. And would it be that someone has a very strong inclination away from that typical thing that they would come to you, or someone might just want to know exactly how the day is going to go?
I would say the latter, the more interest in how the day is going to go.
Okay.
I'm learning how to make funeral arrangements now for 40 years in the Dublin area, okay? And there's been a change in that time where now people are less anxious about having a religious funeral.
Yes.
And so more often than not now, we're having more and more contact with folk who say, look, we want to do something that isn't specifically following a strict religious code.
Okay.
And that's why I'm just picking you up on the base of it just happens. Well, certainly, you know, when I started making funeral arrangements, the funeral invariably went to a particular church, denomination or other, and you did the church thing. Okay. Now what's happening is people are getting more engaged in actually bringing the elements of the funeral they would like to happen.
Okay.
Together. Okay. So when we're talking with folks, I say, well, really what you need to do is get out your coffee machine and meet with your preferred executors and have a non-threatening conversation. And it's non-threatening in both sides. First of all, the person who's making the plan, and secondly, the other side, the executors, who may or may not know that they're actually executors, are chosen.
Okay.
And what I say, look, you need to have a conversation which is non-threatening and say, here are my ideas of what the funeral might look like. But I am keen that they don't make a strict list of this is must do, followed by must do, followed by must do. Because I've had the experience where a family were actually going through on a clipboard, following the must-do instructions.
Oh, like a tick box.
And we're actually tick-boxing things that we had to do on the funeral. And I felt that actually they missed the whole point of the funeral. They weren't really present in it. It felt almost like they were doing an exam. Okay?
That's so, the thing. It's kind of like, for me, funerals are kind of for the people left behind.
That's exactly the point. So the funerals are for the folks who are left behind.
So if I want my funeral to be like a Celine Dion concert, that's maybe not helping the people I leave behind.
Well,
grieve.
That's why I'm saying to you, so I describe to folks that the purpose of the funeral is to bring the people who are left behind, those who actually love and care, to bring them, come to terms with the new reality that this individual is no longer alive in their life. Okay, and the funeral has an important part to play in that, bringing people to terms with the new reality.
And how much, so it sounds like we're kind of talking about someone who's very planned and, you know, like this is a long time coming and they've had their sit down with the coffee machine. But how different is it if it's all of a sudden a very big shock? There has been no real plan. As a funeral director, are you able to kind of come in and just take over the whole thing and be like, look, just leave it to me, I have you covered? Or do you need to know the wishes?
Okay, so I have learned now that the key word is consultation.
Okay.
Okay. And it applies right through the family, and particularly with siblings in the family, where maybe one sibling says, I know what we're going to do and we're going to go this way, and everybody, this is what we're going to do. And I would say, well, really, we need to just consult with everybody of the siblings, let's say, so that everyone is comfortable that we're actually following a particular course for a funeral. Because after the funeral, if things haven't worked out to the satisfaction, it'll rankle.
Yes.
With the family. And I'm more concerned that the family are on good speaking terms, let's call it, you know, the week or two after the funeral. So there's a bit more care in actually making a funeral arrangement. It's not just, here we go, here's a piece of furniture, here's a vehicle, and let's go off to this cemetery or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm saying, no, there's a bit more nuance into it now, because really we're actually, you think we're looking after the deceased, and in some way that's true, but in fact we're looking after
the family and they've left behind,
and that isn't immediately apparent when we come into a situation.
I was writing recently about a new memorial garden cemetery thing that's opening up near my house, and I don't have any, nobody I know of my age has a plot. It's just not something, like, most people can't afford houses. Mm-hmm. They're definitely not going to be affording land to be buried in. Are you finding more and more that people are dying and they don't have a plot? Or is that not yet the case?
There's always been anxiety about families as, do we have a grave? Do we have enough graves?
Right? Yes.
Do we need two or three plots lined up alongside each other? And I'm saying to you, actually, there's less stress over that now because there's new options available to folks. OK, and the new option available would be, for instance, cremation. OK, mm-hmm. And if I can put it to you that in, say, the last 15 or 20 years, cremation is becoming more socially acceptable. When it started first, it was a little bit, we're not too sure about this. Now it doesn't cost anyone a thought.
We actually have a text in here saying, my mother wants to be buried, but plots are so expensive. Is it wrong if we do cremation?
Now, you see, here's the key. And I'm very concerned that folks don't get anxious about the way a funeral plays out. OK, I'm saying to you, certainly make advance arrangements, but leave them in a frame that they have to be available to be tweaked by the family to fit the circumstances at the time. OK,
but if the mother really doesn't want to be buried, is it kind of, is there something weird about, if she doesn't
wants
want
to be buried?
Yes.
OK,
if so, she really doesn't want to be cremated, is it kind of cruel to cremate her, even though she won't know?
Okay, so what I'm really working towards here is peace of mind for the family.
Okay.
So the critical point, the critical question is going to be, the next of kin who are making that arrangement have to think about this a little bit further and say, well, if they go down a particular course of action, will that disturb them going forward in time?
2 years later, you're lying
now,
in bed.
Now, I can only give my best advice, and then they have to decide how it's going to fit for them, right? So this is where I sort of say you got to consult, and then you have to let them
make the decision.
Now, the other thing I would say to you is that funerals are not an emergency. So it doesn't have to happen within 24, 48 hours, okay? You can have a think.
Oh,
about
wow.
What you want to do. It's not a situation whereby we have got an emergency blue light flashing and we have to make decisions all of a panic.
And where would the body reside? Okay. Like, how long do you have?
Okay, so realistically, we can hold on to a person who has died for a period of time.
Okay? How long is the period?
And a period of time, you know, it could be, I have to say to you that funerals are slowing down here in Dublin. Previously, it was like, if you died this morning, you were in church this evening and you were buried tomorrow.
Okay? Yeah.
Now that's not happening. People are saying, oh, no, let's wait till the end of the week sort of thing. And everybody can actually be there who wants to be there, right? So I'm going to say to you, it wouldn't be unusual for a funeral to happen a week later at the moment.
Okay.
All right? So it actually takes the pressure off you in terms of making a decision, which you might say afterwards, if I just spent a bit more time thinking about it, I would have made a different decision.
Right.
All right? So what I'm trying to say to people is, it's not a blue light situation. You can have a think about it, have a chat amongst the family, because ultimately we want to bring it to peace of mind.
And many of the funerals I've been to have been, so the first night I go and see the person laid out generally in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next night they're in a funeral home and we all go and shake hands and say prayers and then they're removed to the church. Mm. And then on that third day, it's the funeral in the church to the graveyard. Is that a typical, like, is it possible to do it all in a funeral home? If you're not having a church, what does the whole ceremony look like?
Yeah, everything is possible. Okay. And so what you've got to figure out is what's appropriate to the particular situation. Okay. And what I can say is my observation is now that the younger generation are not so restricted about going to church, mm-hmm. whereas their parents would say, look, if we don't go to church, something awful might happen. Right?
Yeah.
So the next generation aren't so anxious about having a strict church funeral.
For themselves?
No. For themselves. Even for the parents, they say, well, if it's for the parents, okay, because they went to church, we'll do
it. We'll do it, yes. But
realistically, we don't go to church. And so, they're a bit easy about it. So going forward, it's likely then that that generation will choose not to go to have a religious
ceremony,
but we'll go to another venue.
Okay.
And
like
have a service there, or a civil, and it's like typically a civil or a humanist service. Okay,
at a funeral home?
It could be at a funeral home or it could be at a chapel in a cemetery.
Okay. I have a few texts coming in here on this topic and if you want to get in touch, you can 087 1400 106. Is it true that people are not getting their loved ones' ashes back, just getting random ashes?
Untrue. Untrue. Oh. You won't believe the amount of care and attention that goes into making sure only one person is cremated at a given moment in time. All of that person's ashes are collected before another person
is cremated,
okay? An awful lot of trouble goes in. So we have to make sure when we arrive at the crematorium, there's a nameplate on the coffin which matches the name of the booking, mm-hmm. which matches the card that's put on the door of the cremator.
Okay.
And does this what they call, I think they call it an audit trail,
yes,
to make sure that this named person goes through the system and the ashes are collected before another named person goes through the system. I can guarantee you the ashes you get are those of the person you're expecting. Now, the only thing is, though, the ashes include the coffin. The coffin and the person are cremated as one item.
Okay. So that's probably why it's more substantial. And if you're cremating someone, then does the coffin, like, are people still very attached to how lovely the coffin or casket looks? You know, it was sort of a status symbol. But if you're going to be burning it.
I've spent a lot of time in our showroom with families who are looking at the choices of coffins and trying to figure out which one is the most appropriate.
Yeah. All right. Based on their taste or the taste of the dead person?
Well, they do a combination between the two, right?
Okay.
And it's great to have family there. And the more family that are there, of the immediate family, the better the conversation is, right? And it becomes sort of sort of a jokey conversation. Well, I'd have that one, but you know, my mother wouldn't go for that. She'd go this, right? Now, so you're asking me, well, is there a change in choices over? What I can say is over the last number of years, certainly there has been a swing towards particularly wicker coffins, I would say, over timber coffins.
Yes, okay?
And it's like a fashion at the moment that many people are choosing
wicker
coffins, okay? But it's really a matter of what the family feel is appropriate. Because again, I'm going back to what is going to bring them peace of mind in the weeks
afterwards,
after the funeral.
And I leave you with this because I have to finish up for time. What is the price-wise, lowest price and highest price of a funeral in like this year that you've seen? Like how can you do it?
I'm working in the Dublin area, right? And so what's a funeral is the difficult question there because
if you're paying for caterers
as regards
music,
what they're doing. So just to talk about, for instance, we're doing less newspaper advertising this year than we did in years gone by, okay? And it seems now we're going more on the online notice.
RIP delay.
More so than the print. And does that make a difference? That makes a very big difference, right? Because the typical newspaper charges on the number of lines published, and that could be like somewhere between 200 and 300 euro per day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so if you went online, you're going to spend something seriously less than that. Maybe, I don't know, 40 or 50 euro for an online notice. Okay, now, so that's a long answer to your question.
Okay, so that's...
How much is a typical funeral? Right, well, realistically, the typical funeral, certainly in Dublin, my experience, the average funeral is going to cost you somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 euro for a sort of modest funeral, right?
But that's not including the plot.
That's not including a purchase, right. If you're buying a purchasing a grave, there's a big selection of cemeteries with a whole lot of prices.
Yeah, I saw that because I got the brochure for the one, I got a brochure for the other one, and it was like they can give you one that's on a path, that's at the front, that's at the back, that's mid part, like that doesn't have a footpath in front of it.
Like, think of it like a cruise. It's whether you've got a view, you know, all this sort of stuff. Like, so yeah, so buying a grave is an expensive item.
And buying a coffin, can you rent a coffin?
No.
No, you have to buy it.
You have to buy a coffin, and there's a whole lot of issue around about that in terms of security. Let's put it that way. If somebody puts a note in a coffin, right, that stays in the coffin.
Oh, like I want to...
The coffin, and somebody puts something in the coffin is closed, that's it, done.
They're buried
done
with
deal.
That thing.
Yes, done deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I put some cigarettes down in my grandfather's pocket so that he had something to smoke on the other side and he was buried with them.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But I'm just saying to you, it's very important that somebody puts something
that
in a coffin.
I don't
that
think
you can
that
say,
somebody else is going to.
That somebody else got them or whatever. You know, No. Once the coffin is closed, that's it. Done deal.
We have a text, loads of texts on this. Don't change people's plans. It's their last request. Another one, I see a lot of people with wicker coffins. Just recently, Edna O'Brien, is that a new trend? Which you've said that it is. Hi, Stephanie. When it comes to death and funerals, it can be quite an awkward time. There has been many arguments amongst families, and at the end of the day, we can only do our best by the deceased. That's true. And it is, that's the thing, like it's a stressful time. So I think somebody like you, like you're walking into the most intense time in a family's, you know.
Absolutely. But actually, funny enough, sitting in that situation where you know that the family are fatigued because they've spent 3 nights sitting outside intensive care.
Yes, okay.
They're absolutely at their lowest energy point, right? And the slightest thing that one remark, let's put it that way, sets off someone else in the family. And it can be very difficult to actually get the family back to a level point to actually agree on a plan for the funeral going forward. But that's part of my job.
Is to get them to agree.
To bring them back together again and sort of work through a satisfactory plan. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to have this family at war. No one said.
We have a text in here from John. My mother-in-law passed away a few years ago. My wife and her sisters were with the undertaker arranging the funeral. And one of my sisters-in-law who lives in Germany asked if a second-hand coffin was available at a cheaper price. Because in Germany, they don't cremate the coffin. It's interesting, isn't it? How different.
Interesting
cultures.
Idea. I don't know how that works. Because like I say, I'm only working in the Dublin area. The notion of secondhand coffins gives me a slight concern as to, well, exactly how does that work exactly? And well, what happened the first time the coffin was used? And you know, I've no experience of that. So I'm just slightly concerned where that's going.
Do you notice a big difference between Dublin funerals and rural funerals? I'm from Mallow in Cork. And like if there's a death in town, like we all go. If my friend's grandmother died, I would go to that funeral. But in Dublin, like I have attended the funerals of my friend's grandparents and they're kind of like, oh, why are you here? You know, like, thank you so much for coming. It's not, whereas in rural Ireland, it's just like, Aria, you know me, so you're here.
OK, so I have to say to you, I think it's fantastic that Irish people actually go to funerals.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost them a thought. If you go to other countries, you have to be invited to go to a funeral. So if I can put it this way, in some countries, you're conspicuous by your attendance. In Ireland, it's the other way around. You're conspicuous by your absence.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say, I'm all in favour of the community and the greater community attending a funeral, okay?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, what happens is when somebody has something bad happen, the first thing they do is actually withdraw from the situation to try and cope with it. And a funeral is a way of introducing that folk
back to the person,
into the community.
Yeah.
And the community are best there to actually give them support. And it's amazing the people who turn up at a funeral who are unexpected, but actually give great support to family. So I would say never hesitate to go to a funeral.
Yeah, no, I think it's a really, really beautiful thing to do. On my final point on this, in Mallow, where I'm from, the church have stopped allowing eulogies from the altar. So now people are doing eulogies at the gravesite with like a mic. Is that not?
It happened ages ago. In history going back, if you look at graveside orations, That happened in history, okay? So that's not exactly new, okay? The other thing that would happen here is that sometimes people would speak before the Mass begins, if it's the Catholic Mass, right? That they might speak before the Mass begins and to talk about the person who has died, okay? Now, there's a catch here in this. If you're going to church, you have to do the church thing.
I know.
All right. Now, be careful. The church is not a sort of an a la carte. It's a very specific ceremony with a beginning, a middle and an end.
But in some churches, they allow it. This one, they don't.
Okay. So it comes down to how it's interpreted locally. But I have to say to you, there's a very distinct format with all the churches.
Yeah.
You need to follow that format. But when you get to the grave, you get to a point where the actual prayer format is finished. And they have their final prayers. And then you can go off into the eulogy without any complications.
Well, I actually could talk to you all day. Thank you so much for coming in to talk to me. Our recommendation is, if you have any concerns about your funeral, go and talk to your local funeral director.
Funeral director, because they have some experience without binding you into things. But it needs to be, it's a conversation that needs to happen without threat.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. That's Joan McNamara, the director of Corrigan and Sons Funeral Home in Dublin. The very best of luck to you, and thank you so much for joining me.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.